All right, guys, we started a new series last week, North Point Values, and I realized I didn't title it. North Point Values. Last week we talked about the value of our outreach and the value of missions. This week, I want us to look at the value of service. The value of service. The problem with service though, is that it gets tiring. Don't you get tired sometimes and you just don't always feel like it. Especially with ministry, you just don't always feel like it. There was a mom trying to wake her son up one day, and she said, it was a Sunday, and she said, "Hey, you need to get up, time to go to church." He said, "Mom, I don't want to go to church. She said, get on up. And he said, "Mom, I'm not going to church. Those people there don't even like me." She said, "Son, get up and go to church." He said, "Mom, those people don't like me, and furthermore, they won't even know, they won't even miss me." She said, "Son, you've got to go to church. You're the pastor." But we get tired. You know, you get tired in service. And you know, fall kicks off a lot for us, and a lot of people are working and they're serving, and I wanted you to, before you got too tired, and to give you some preventative medicine for this, and because you're gonna be tired. You're gonna be overwhelmed, and I've seen a lot of people in the 10 years of ministry here at North Point come and go. And as your pastor, I want to see you make it to the finish line, to see you finish. At the end of your life, I want you to know that what you did counted and it mattered. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Whatever you do for God matters." Whatever you do for Him matters. Don't matter how big you think it is or how small you think it is. It counts. Galatians 6:9 says, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time." You ever get tired of doing good? You can say yes or no. Do you ever get tired of doing good? I do. I thought I was the only one. But I get tired sometimes of doing good. You just get tired. But if anybody had a hard life that was doing good, it was the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to hang out in the next 2 weeks in 2 Corinthians 4:1-18. 8:9 says, "We're hard-pressed on every side." I love this verse. "But we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Paul saying, no matter what hits me, I'm going to keep going. When he's saying I'm perplexed, he's saying, like, sometimes I don't even know what's going on in my life. You guys ever feel like that? That you don't know what's going on in your life, and do you feel like that? Welcome to the club. You know, Paul felt like that. One of the greatest Christians of all was Paul, the Apostle Paul. You ever feel like giving up? I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you feel like giving up on something, your marriage, church, God, or whatever, and if you're here today and you feel like giving up, you picked a good weekend to come. You've picked the one to come to church. If you ain't been a long time, I'm really glad you're here. You may not be in a tough position right now, but you will be. Paul gives us 7 secrets to this staying power of whatever it is that you're ready to give up on. And this week we're going to talk about 4 of them. Next week, we'll finish up with all seven. The number one secret to staying power is to relax in God's grace. Relax in God's grace. I'm not talking about believing. I'm not talking about teaching it. I'm just talking about relaxing. Learn to enjoy the grace of God. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was when I figured out that God likes me. Not that he just loves me, but that he likes me. And that he wants to spend time with me. That his grace and his love and his mercy was unconditional. See, because so many times the world and even religious denominations want to tell us that's not just good enough. Just not good enough. There's got to be more. You got to do more. But his grace is more than enough. His love is more than enough. Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. You know, grace is the fact that God knows every stupid thing that I've done, that I'm doing, and that I will do, and that he still loves and he still likes me. That's what grace is. That he still wants to hang out. You know, what I found out was, you know, God is really quite fond of me. And you know what? God is really quite fond of you too. Let's do that old preacher thing that, you know, I know it's irritating when preachers do this. And you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but if the person next to you does it, you'll feel pretty dumb. Just look to the person next to you and say, "Man, God is quite fond of me." Go ahead. I want to hear. He is so fond of you. Don't it feel really good to tell somebody that, man, God is fond of me? Or do you feel like a goofball? You know? God made you to love you. And loving is really huge, but I think when I figured out he made me to like me. You know, liking and loving is two different things. He wants to spend time with me. He don't mind being with me. He doesn't mind that I'm weird in some ways. You know, and he don't care that I don't like to wear socks. He's okay with that. He likes me. And you know, two things are going to happen when you make this a very foundation of your life, that God likes you. It's number one is you don't have to prove yourself anymore. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody else. If I like me and God likes me, if you don't like me, then what's your problem? You know, God likes me. That's a very neat foundation. We don't need someone else's approval to be happy. Say that with me. I don't need anyone else's approval to be happy. Secondly, we don't have to wallow in our failures. We don't just, you know, why have to wallow at them? You know, I'm telling you guys, you're looking, as far as me, you're looking at a flawed man. Believe it or not, I've got a few shortcomings. I am a flawed man. But you know what? I'm learning every day more and more to relax in God's grace. Just relax in his grace. The secondly is part of North Point values is we refuse to fake it. We refuse to fake it. We don't fake it. We don't pretend. What you see here is what you get. Paul says the same thing here about our values here that we believe is we have turned away from secret and shameful ways. We use no trickery. And we do not change the teaching of God. We teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we are. Then they can know their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight. Guys, if you're going to make it in the Christian life, you can't fake it. You can't wear this mask. That is stressful, trying to be somebody that you're not. Authentic people last in ministry. Authentic and real people last in their marriages and their jobs. Guys, when you fake it, you're always worried that someone else just might see the real you. And that is stressful. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you. And friends, I am living proof of that. I am far from perfect. But you do have to be real. No phonies. No phonies. Actually, seeing a weakness in your pastor, I believe, is beneficial. I believe that I should tell you when I mess up. It's a good thing. So that maybe some of you can say, man, if God can use Jim, he can certainly use me. You see, I'm telling you, guys, we here at North Point, the leaders, we're not out to impress people. We're out to influence them. You see, you can impress people from a distance. But to influence people, you got to get them close. And when you get them close, they see your warts. They see your flaws. They see your shortcomings. So we want to draw close. That's why we talk about relationships. That's why we talk about being real and authentic. The more authentic or the more realer, I know that's not a word. I know. It isn't Rockmart. The more realer you get, the gooder life gets. Amen? Man, Andre, you didn't know you were going to learn such good English. And guys, to be honest with you, I didn't love all of y'all before, and some I'm just getting to know. So I can't honestly say I love all of you, but I'm loving you more and more. The more I get to know you, the more real you become to me, and more authentic, I'm loving you, warts and all. Because I got them too. And it's about influence. It's not about, we don't want to impress you. We want you to see who we are and that we're real. And the third key. The third key to staying in power is to remember that it's not about you. Remember that it's not about you. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're thinking about quitting, whatever you're thinking about giving up, that it's not about you. Every time that you think that it's about you, you're going to be either bitter or you're going to be really prideful. And if you're bitter, you're going to be all mad about how you're being treated. That you're going to be mad about it, that so-and-so's getting better treatment than you, or why this happened to me, or why do I have to do this, and so-and-so don't, or you're just going to become bitter. And then prideful, which is just as bad, then you become that it is about you, that you have done it all. My son is playing football now, and he's moved up to the is he in here? All right, well, I'm going to tell this story, Luke. I hadn't talked to you about it before, but I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. But it's a good story. It's not going to. But I was asking Luke, he started, it's 12 and under, and it's a different ball game when you get up to 12. In the South, you know, we take our football real serious. So when they move up to 12 and under, these coaches get serious. And one of them, we got, you know, yells. Don't mean nothing. He just yells and yells. He goes to our church, actually. 9 o'clock service, you know, with all them other guys. And so we was on our way home from work, from the practice one evening. I said, hey, Luke, what do you think? Because I know Luke's a little like me, you know. I said, that, you know, we think about what folks say to us. I said, what do you think about this guy yelling at you? He said, well, I don't take it personal. I said, really? I said, why don't you take it personal? He yells at everybody. And then he went on to tell me how, he said, well, what he's really after is to make us all better. So I don't take it personal. I just know that he wants to play me to play up to my potential and even more. So the whole point of that story is to tell you, stop taking it personal. That it's not about you. It's not about you. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. All we say about ourselves is that we are your servants because of what Jesus has done for us. We're just servants. We're servants of the one and only true God. That's huge. That's huge. Paul says here, I'm not doing this for my ego. I'm not doing this for popularity. I'm not doing it for money or fame or you know, myself. Paul says, I'm doing it, and I love this, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, not for ourselves. Not for ourselves. You know, and I know I can speak for the leaders of North Point, is that sometimes you have to do things, and you know what? We don't do this, and we don't try to win people to Christ for nothing but for His sake. There's some decisions that sometimes we have to make that are not the most popular, but we do it for His sake. His sake, and nothing else. I love the next verse that's in your outline. Your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, "Given over to death for Jesus' sake." Paul says the reason that I don't give up, I'm not doing it for me, but I'm doing it for Jesus' sake. I got to tell you, I think most of these leaders would give up a long time ago. I know I would have if I was doing it for any other reason than for Jesus' sake. But Paul's amazing. I want you, whatever you're going through, I want you to put yourself in Paul's spot. Paul was whipped 5 times. 5 times, 39 lashes on his back. Quick math, 195 scars, cuts on his back. He was whipped with a rod 3 times. He was stoned once, and we're talking about rocks. I knew y'all'd get that after a while. He was shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked. He was lost. He was hungry. He was naked. He was cold. He was made fun of for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. And you might want to know, Paul was also a volunteer. He did it for Jesus' sake. Nothing else. Nothing else would do this. And plus all this time he worried about all these churches that he'd started. He wrote them letters, you know. You know, every time I guess he heard one of them was acting up, he'd write them a letter. And they became the Bible. But this is what he went through in order to follow Jesus Christ. Would you? Would you? Paul never gave up because of Jesus' sake. He said, it's not about me, it's about Him. I remember one night I was having this pity party. And it was just me and the Lord and myself again. It wasn't that awful long ago. I've had more than one. And it was about having to do a whole lot here at North Point, and I was having to do a lot of things because nobody else was here, and everybody else had something to do. Couldn't do it. Moving chairs and everything else. And I remember sitting out there in the hall and said, Lord, I teach on Sundays. I host a small group on Sunday night. I teach twice on Sundays. I host a small group on Sunday night. I listen to the kids recite their verses on Wednesday. I'm doing these weddings and funerals and speaking engagements and some personal visits. Hear people complain about a hangnail. and have to make all these phone calls. And I was sitting there thinking, and this preacher down here at this other church doesn't do all this. And our church is twice as big as his. Why ain't you got me doing it? What's wrong with these idiots in here? I'm just telling you how I felt out there in the hall. This was just a while ago. And and I'll never forget, God spoke to me and said, Jim, who you doing it for? Who you doing it for? And I gave him my Sunday school answer. I said, well, I'm doing it for you, Lord. And I felt him tell me, well, you know what? It don't matter if you have to wear 6, 10, 15 hats here at North Point Church. Whatever I do for them has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. It's about me. Now, I'd like to tell you that that was the only pity party I've ever been on, but it's not. But I constantly remind myself that it's not about me. It's about him. And that's how I go through it. And I'm asking you to remember that. All right, last point. Number four, it's not in your bulletin. Write it down. Rejoice in your limitations. Rejoice in your limitations. Not just accept them, but really rejoice in them. Paul says to glory in our limitations. Beware of our, you know, because of our weaknesses, he is strong. And in our weaknesses, when he can come up. You know, I'm a trophy of that grace. I am a trophy of that grace. And I glory in my weaknesses. Because there is no way. There is no, people that I grew up with, people that have known me all my life, find out that because they've heard of you. They've heard of North Point Church. Because God is doing amazing things. But when they find out that I'm the pastor, they say, there is no way. I said, you're right. I'm a goofball. But God showed up, and he's doing an amazing thing. You see, because God gets the credit. If I don't, does that make any sense? So glory in your weaknesses. You know, don't worry about them. Glory. Glory in the weaknesses. We have this treasure. I love 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Your body is a jar of clay. Look around. We got some big jars. We got some small jars. We got some tall jars, some short jars, some gladiola jars. But what happens when you drop a jar? It breaks or it cracks. You know, when I look around and I look in the mirror, we're all cracked. I'm not going to do the crackpot thing, but we're all cracked. I'm not going to go into that store, but just after you sit, look at the next person and say, you're a crackpot. And I'm going to get away from that real quick. I messed up the last time I started talking about that. But the quickest way that we can get burnt out is for us to think that we're supermen and superwomen. I've seen some of you guys' schedules. I've talked to you about your schedules. You're doing way too much. You're doing way, way too much. You're involved in everything. You got your kids involved in everything. You're burning the candle at both ends. You're not so bright. You're not so bright. We're going to have to slow down. Going to have to have to take some things off your calendar. You're not Superman. We all have weaknesses. In the first couple of years, I tried to do everything at North Point except for sing. You know, they won't let me sing. And as a matter of fact, even when I sing now, Jim mutes me. They won't let me play any instruments because all I can play is the radio. But I was kind of getting burned out when we started going to North Point. But I was trying to do everything. You know what I figured out is I just don't know how to do everything. Oh, I can do it just because nobody else is doing it. But it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be good. And so we got up to about 100, 150 people. I remember God calling me. Goofball! Goofball! Then I knew that he was fixing to yell at me. You need to let go of that. You need to take that off your schedule. You need to let somebody else do it. You're going to burn out. So I did, and God grew it even more. The bigger that North Point got, the more I let go. But he called me again this week. Goofball! You got to let go of some stuff. You got to let go of some stuff. God wants to bless our church. It's going to take service. I'm letting go of more stuff. You see what I love to do and what I love to teach. And I love to pray. And so I'm going to just try to stick to teaching and praying. I met with the building team at lunch. I said, I'm stepping back. I'm not going to worry about building this building. I just want to teach. I just want to pray. We're going to grow. We're going to reach more people. It's going to take a look. Give me the next verse up here. I'll read it from here. That'll save me a walk up there. Exodus 23 says this, I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and overrun with wild animals. Instead, I will drive them out slowly, little by little before you, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Guys, we're not in a hurry here. We're not running a sprint. We're running a marathon. We're in it for the long haul. But we need you. We need you to help us serve. And if you're close to me, and even if you're not close to me, I'm about to start asking you to help me do some stuff. I need to hand some off if it's going to be good for him and not just me. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, Lord, I desire you becoming real among us. Lord, I pray for miracles. I pray for just holy stuff happen here. I'm not sure how to describe it. I just want you to be here. So, Lord, you keep me out of the way. And just show slap out. Lord, I'm not even sure what to ask. I just want more of you. I just want to grow closer and closer. Lord, I desire to see more folks come to know you. I yearn to see people helped. I yearn to see families changed and dads to come back home. I beg for relationships mended. I plead that our people here are bridges to the lost and dying world. I just want more and more of you. Whatever it takes, just use us. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.